This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. If you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Now, my website has a number of things on it that you might find helpful. It has a weekly meditation on it. It has some gospel tracks on it. It has a Two Roads and Two Destinies chart on it. There's some questions that have been asked me that I've answered on it. A copy of this program is archived there. You can re-listen to it there, or you can download it if you would like to have it in your own personal library. In addition, my addresses are available there, both mailing addresses and website addresses. If you would like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, a monthly magazine that I've been offering on this program, you'll have to let me have your address so that I can send it on to them. But I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program if you would like to contact me and perhaps even leave me prayer requests. Now today we want to go to Acts chapter 28. And we want to start with verse 25. We're going to look at the very last few verses in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. But before we do that, we might just recap a little bit where we have been. We'll remember that Paul is the major player in the latter part of the Acts of the Apostles, starting with chapter 12 on. Paul pretty much becomes the preeminent preacher of the gospel as far as the story is concerned. He has three missionary journeys that are recorded, and in the last one he comes back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a place for is the center of the Jewish religion. They look at Paul as a traitor. They think that he's telling the Jews to sort of change religions, and so instead of receiving what he is saying, they find an excuse to deliver him to the Roman soldiers, and ultimately, as a result of that, Paul is going to stand trial in Rome for the charges made against him in Jerusalem. And this has then taken him on a journey to Caesarea, where he preached to King Agrippa, Felix, and to Festus. And then from there, he goes on to meet the people in Malta because of the storm. And from there, he ends up at Rome on the way, visiting as many Christians as he can. He ends up in Rome, and now he's in house arrest. And you could believe at this point that he might be weary. You could believe at this point that he might be discouraged. But no, Paul looks at this as all part of the plan of God to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. And he preaches faithfully in Jerusalem, first to the Jews, and then he goes from the Jews to the Gentiles because the Jews, again, do not receive the truth. Now, last time we left off by noting that when Paul brought the Jewish people together, they had not heard about the charges being made against Paul. But they had heard about this sect called the sect of the Nazarenes. And so they wanted to know about it because it was being criticized. The Jews were against this sect. And so they were looking at Christianity as a new division of the Jewish religion, like the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the Herodians and so on, when in fact it wasn't a sect of Judaism. And for those of you who are interested in studying these things, if you go to Hebrews, you'll find out that Christianity is a new thing. And it's a new covenant. It has a better priesthood. It has a better sacrifice. It's just different. Even though the Old Testament was illustrative of the truth of the gospel, yet the church is something new. And so it's not just a sect, it's something new. And the cornerstone truth of the gospel is that Christ was raised from the dead, and that's emphasized throughout the epistles. And so Paul preaches this to the Jews and tries to show them that he's not preaching just another kind of Judaism. He's preaching the liberty that comes with trusting in Christ and having your sins forgiven, having your sins put away. And we noted that there were some of them who believed. And there were some of them who did not believe. And we've noted that whenever the gospel is preached, we get divided into those two classes. There are the intellectuals. There are the philosophers. There are the scientists who, no matter what we would say, no matter what evidence was presented to them, would reject, in many cases, the truth of the gospel and the claims of Christ. Now, that's not to say that all philosophers, that all scientists, that all academic people would reject the truth of the gospel, because there are some of us, and I'm one, who have an education. And as far as I'm concerned, the education that I have has only complemented what I know from Scripture. It's a matter of what you want to believe. There were some who believed, there were some who did not believe. And yet as we look down through the end of this passage, we'll find out that because of the fact that there were some who believed and some who did not believe, there was dissension and a dispute amongst the Jews. And it's obvious that always happens when we preach the gospel. And what bothers me is that oftentimes those who do not believe are more evangelical about their faith in themselves and in what they think is right than a Christian is in his faith in the Bible and in the promises of Scripture and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we preach the gospel, we're going to be divided into those two groups. And the whole purpose of this program and of this journey through Acts has been to help you, my listener, make sure you're in the right group. Because a believer goes to heaven. A believer has their sins forgiven. A believer has a friend that sticks closer than a brother. A believer has a reason for living, and he's prepared for dying. An unbeliever is taking a flying leap in the dark. And there is absolutely no purpose to life. In the long run, there's no purpose to life if you reject the claims of Christ. Oh, you say, but maybe there's some other religion that is better than this and that represents God better. There's no other religion that has an empty tomb and a resurrected Lord and prophecy starting in Genesis through the book of the Revelation that make sense. Now, the Revelation prophecies have not been fulfilled yet. Some of them in the early part of the book perhaps have been when we look at the conditions of the seven churches of Asia Minor. I look at those churches as being somewhat prophetic. But nevertheless, we have prophecies from Genesis, Exodus, from the Psalms, from the prophets that have been fulfilled in Christ. And there is good evidence that the Bible is very Word of God. It not only describes Christ, it not only foretells what he is going to do, but it describes you if you're honest. It describes your heart, how that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And you may deny that that's true of you, but the God says it is, and I think if you're honest, that in itself should make you realize that the claims of Christ are the right claims. The truth of the Bible is worthy of your acceptance. Paul says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And we have presented the truth of the gospel through the Acts of the Apostles so that you would realize that this is a faithful saying, a dependable saying, and that it is worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and we want you in the believing group because we believe this is true. We believe it's true. Our believing doesn't make it true, but because it's true, it's important, and we believe it. And we know that if you reject what you're hearing through the truths presented in the Acts of the Apostles, that you're going to lose your soul for eternity. And so as we come on down through this passage, we find out that in verse 25, when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul and said one to another. They departed after Paul had said one word. And this is the word he said. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. And yet, as we look at that passage, it's one of the most quoted passages in the Old Testament when it comes to preaching the gospel. At least 5 times in the New Testament, that passage is quoted, because Isaiah had gotten a vision of the Lord in that passage. It humbled him. He had to be cleansed, and now he's being sent to tell the nation about the Redeemer, and they're not going to receive him. And so oftentimes it's that way when we preach the gospel as well. People have their minds made up. You can't confuse them with the facts. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want accountability to the living and true God. And so we preach to this kind of people as well. Paul preached to them. And so Paul says, because the Jews have this kind of a closed attitude, verse 28, he says, therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. We're amongst the non-Jews that are receiving the gospel today, and thank God for that. The gospel has gone into the Western culture. It has become a part of the Roman world, and we are the recipients of what Paul started, and we can be saved, and yet we can only be saved if our hearts are touched and if our minds are not already made up to reject this truth. And so in verse 30, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him. He's able to preach the gospel. The Lord is bringing him people so that he can preach to them. And he, in verse 31, the last verse, it says he was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. And so he continued his work in under house arrest. He had more liberty in the prison under house arrest, that kind of a prison, than he did in Jerusalem, where the people should have received the truth. And so today we're closing out this passage. We'll look at Acts again sort of in summary form next time just to wrap it all up. But we're closing this out with an appeal to you. Are you in the believing class, or are you in the unbelieving class? Has God touched your heart? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you part of his family? Are you going to be a part of his heavenly glory? And our heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program and upon our listeners. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.